Welcome to the First Beat Sports Podcast, where we talk with coaches and sports scientists to explore the latest in how performance monitoring is making a difference in the NCAA and pro sports alike. We're going to connect you with practical advice from the best in the business to help you take your athletes to the next level. On the line today is Henry Barrera. Henry is the Director of Performance for the Liberty Men's Basketball Program. We're headed to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2014. Henry's 14-year career in coaching and performance training has included stops at Nike World Headquarters, Concordia University, and Westland High School, one of the top programs in the United States. Henry also trains athletes worldwide as part of his basketball and performance training company, Hoop Diaries, and runs the Masterminds Project, connecting coaches on key industry topics. Henry's here to discuss how to quantify individual training loads and the keys to securing athlete and coach buy-in. He'll also give his unique take on the transition from high school to mid-major hoops and touch on his four pillars of performance mindset. So let's get started. Here's your host, head of First Beat Sports USA, Benjamin Jensen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this third edition of the First Beat Sports Podcast. This is Benjamin Jensen once again. Let's go ahead and get down to business. Hen, great to hear from you, man. Thank you for accepting to be on the show here. Always looking forward to talking to you.
Cool, man. Sounds good. Thanks for having me. It's fun to just talk with your friends, and they happen to be professionals, so appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man. Hey, just go ahead. Give us a little background of your career and kind of how did you end up at Liberty University?
Man, it's kind of a crazy story. You know, I've been here 4 years. I worked for Nike before that, and I was at a Division II school called Concordia in Portland before that. So I'm going to give you the real quick story. So I was coaching high school basketball in Westland, Oregon, and we had two pretty good players, Peyton Pritchard and Anthony Mathis. And I was doing workouts with those guys. And one night we had probably six high-level Division I coaches in, and Richie McKay happened to be one of them. You know, I went and introduced myself, and kind of a funny thing, I have this New Testament Bible with his testimony in it. You know, I went up and I said, "Hey, man, I appreciate how you live your faith publicly. That's a challenge for me." And we kind of hit it off, had a conversation, traded phone numbers. I didn't think anything of it. And he was back a couple more times. And on the last time he came back, probably 6 months later, he's like, "Listen, I'm going to be a head coach again." He was an associate at Virginia then. "I want you to consider coming with us." And I was like, "Yeah, whatever. You know, that doesn't happen." You know, so man, fast forward my life at Nike and coaching high school basketball and, you know, doing a part-time strength gig at the Division II school got intense. One morning I walked my son to the bus stop and we kind of wrestle around a little bit and he grabs my shirt and he's like, "Dad, this is the best day of my life." Turns around, runs onto the bus. Man, I'm not doing a very good job then. That's the best day of his life. And so I walked about a block home and I called my boss at Nike and I was like, "Listen, I'm going to take a month off. Like, I'm going to get myself in order, my family. I'm going to go to recess. I'm going to go to plays." And sure enough, the next day, Richie McKay calls and says, "Hey, I'll have a job in 3 days. Do you want to go?" And I'm like, "Well, where to?" He's like, "I'm not going to tell you. It hasn't been released yet." So I go home and I talk to my wife and she says, "I'll go anywhere except for the East Coast." And so we didn't know, you know, where it was at yet. And so in the next couple of days, we find out it's Liberty University. And I'm like, "You know, where's Liberty? Lynchburg, Virginia." And she's like, "Nah, we're not going to go there." And Richie calls back and he says, "Listen, you'll never understand what's happening at Liberty. You have to step foot on campus, feel the energy, see the progression, see what's going on." I said, "Cool, man, we'll come down. You're going to have to convince my wife. She's the one, you know." So we spend the weekend and literally I walk in Saturday morning and I'm sitting in Coach McKay's office and he says, "Congratulations." I'm like, "Yeah, thanks. For what?" He's like, "Well, your wife, she's in. You guys are coming." You know, so that's kind of the story of how I got to Liberty.
Oh, wow. So he actually informed you that your wife had accepted the job then.
Yeah. She accepted before me. So, you know, it was everything just opened up and it was perfect timing. And it was, you know, a good next chapter in our lives. So that's, you know, that was 4 years ago and it's been a wild ride since.
Wow. That's a slightly different route than, you know, I've been bouncing around the country for the last 5 years with First Beat. And, you know, these guys are putting in, you know, internships, GAs, assistants, you know. So you're actually the first one I've spoke to that literally went from, you know, high school almost straight to D1. How was that transition? I know you were helping out a little bit with the D2 school, but that's still a big jump. How was that transition for you?
Yeah, it was a great transition, you know, but I think the thing is, man, I spent the last 20 years like just grinding, man. This has always been my dream and my mission is to work at the Division I level with basketball players only. You know, I have a couple other teams now that I work with. The transition's been great, man. It was challenging. There's a big learning curve at first. I think just the level of intensity, it's 24/7, man. College sports is all consuming and it's kind of hard to find a balance for me because I'm obsessive about what I do. I love it. I love being here. I love being with our guys. So it's a transition's been great, man.
All right, nice. For the last 4 years, you've been director of performance for men's basketball. Now you've also added the title of director of strength and conditioning for Olympic sports. What's changed now with the new role title as well?
We're seeing the whole athletic Olympic sports department. So a guy named Chris Casola, he's got a, you know, a background in sports med, but he's a strength coach at heart. He's full of wisdom and he's like, hey man, I want to build something special here and I want you to be a part of it. And so like, we're really trying to create a team of people who are working together from sports medicine to nutrition, psychology, even the academics, you know, above and beyond our academic enhancement, but like working in collaboration with exercise science at our university. It's really helping build a framework for, you know, what we want to do and, you know, how we want to serve our athletes here.
Yeah, and I've seen that firsthand that it seems you've got a lot of, it's just a smooth transition between the strength staff, at least on the men's basketball strength staff, the athletic trainers, all the way up to the head coach. Looked like a real smooth process from what I've seen behind the scenes there.
Oh, absolutely, man. I got to give a shout out to Aaron Schreiner. I mean, that's my dude. He's our athletic trainer here. He oversees a lot of our cognitive stuff with our athletes, doing some really cool stuff with breathing protocols and recovery. And so, man, it's a symbiotic relationship. It's fun, man. It's a blessing to come to work because I'm working with people who are pushing the envelope and really trying to get better. So it's fun.
Yeah, I liked that when I was there last time after a big win, great celebration in the locker room, this and that. But then it was, okay, guys, lights down, let's get the breathing stuff in. Now, I was kind of surprised after a big win. I figured it was done, everybody could get home. But no, you guys are still implementing your procedures.
Yeah, man, if I could describe Liberty in one way, I would say different. You know, I think people don't understand. They have maybe a perception of Liberty and what it stands for and all this stuff. And it's been enlightening. It's just been different than I thought, better than I thought. It's a lot of fun right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think different's a great description for that. And kind of staying on that note with the program, this year basically marks the program's third straight winning season after having five losing seasons. Kind of what do you put that down to?
Oh, man. I think one of the things that sticks out is Coach McKay talked about building the program with guys you could lose with first. And I think that sounds crazy. You know, I thought it was crazy when I first heard it. But literally, we have high character guys in our program, you know, guys that really are invested in Liberty University and our basketball program. And it's helping us to continue to build on success. I don't know if people remember, but we lost 13 Division I games in a row our first year. I was worried we wouldn't win another game all year. So that's hard to go through. But we've had guys who've kind of built it. We have a saying in our program, what you do every day is more important than what you do every once in a while. So that's what we try to live by. We'll worry about today and do the best we can. And, you know, good things happen from that.
And so it seems like, I know this is kind of on your background as well, that Coach McKay kind of approached things. This is more team building and leadership instead of, oh, you know, we're going to get the best athletes and this and that out there. And I know, like I said, your approach is a lot about that. So what type of qualities kind of are you looking to bring out in those players?
Man, we talk a lot about pillars of performance. So for us, that entails mindset, sleep, nutrition, training, and readiness. Those are kind of our five pillars. And really what I want with our athletes is I want to prepare them for life. So lifestyle management. If I have guys saying, hey, I want to be elite, well, then let's go. Let's be elite in what we do every single day. You know, so it's really, we're living on a deep level with our guys. You know, we have, you know, real conversations and we're trying to meet them where they're at, but we're also trying to pour into them in a way that is going to be bigger than basketball.
Kind of getting to the bigger in basketball aspect too. So you're not just talking about these players now. I know you've started a masterminds project. Can you give us a little insight about what you're doing there?
Yeah, man. Every year I challenge myself with something that's going to push me beyond my comfort zone. I think that's the only way we grow. So last year we're doing Christmas and I thought, man, we're just giving, you know, our kids all these little gifts and this and that. And I was like, now I'm going to do something different. So last year, I actually wrote a book. I took a whole year worth of my journal, had it bound, and I got 50 copies, gave it to my friends, family, the people that were closest to me, just a picture of where my life was at 42 years old. So this year, I'm in the shower, and I'm like, man, what's going to push me? What's going to challenge me to really dive into communication and building meaningful relationships? And so I thought of this mastermind concept. And I invited anybody who wanted to join to just join me on the next, you know, 365 days and see how I pursue life and learning and all the other things. And, you know, we have 61 people from around the world, from Japan to France to, you know, US, you know, all kinds of VPs, strength coaches, you know.
Wow. And so if somebody's interested, how could they look into this mastermind group that you're running?
They'd probably have to hit me directly, man, because what I wanted to do is I took a month to just I put it out on social media a bit and, you know, just kind of see who wanted to be involved. And so it's kind of played out, man. Some people are really involved and communicate every day and are dropping, you know, just great wisdom and just life. And other people are just in the shadows and in the woodwork, just kind of observing, which is, you know, everybody's different in their style. But yeah, they can hit me up directly on social or just, you know, I'll give you my email after this. And anybody who wants to communicate, I'm more than happy to connect.
Okay, sounds great. Let's go ahead and flip the script a little bit now. Let's hop on to some First Beat related stuff. So in terms of player monitoring, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the fourth season with First Beat, right?
Yeah, going into the fourth season. Yep.
Okay, going into the fourth season. So kind of two questions that I wanted to ask. First, why did you choose to go with First Beat? Second off, why have you stuck with us for 4 years? Because I know you're always meeting with, you know, a lot of other companies and seeing what's out there, and it seems you're still with us. So what's kind of kept you with First Beat for these 4 years?
Man, I think the first, I'll probably answer this backwards. I'll answer the second piece. Man, people are always first to me. You know, so, you know, you and I built a great relationship, and I've been impressed with how you guys over deliver. I feel valued as a customer. Any little things that we have questions on, you know, a piece of hardware breaks, we can send it back. Anything that we need, there's always immediate response, you know, so that's probably why that sums it up pretty good. Give me the other part of the question.
Oh, yeah. So what was the original reason you chose to go with First Beat?
Oh, yeah, man, just the quality of the product. Quality of the product, man. I think we get exactly what we're looking for, and it's been a great fit for us.
Okay. And on the quality of the product, so are you using it on a daily basis? And kind of just give us a little bit about your daily use or weekly use with First Beat.
Absolutely, man. We use it every day, whether guys are in practice or lifting or doing skill work every single day. And I think that just gives us a bigger picture, you know, kind of a macro view of training load, internal training load. You know, First Beat has been really big for us in real-time feedback. So that's kind of how we engage our athletes. What is your body doing at a given time? We've used it for recovery with the quick recovery test. And we use the TRIMP scores. You know, we attribute TRIMP to money. You know, if you have $300 in a day, how much are you going to spend? And what are you going to spend your money on? So we want to emphasize quality over quantity. And that's how we communicate with our staff. So really, we're trying to do what's best for our athletes. And I think Coach McKay has done a fabulous job kind of honoring the guys, you know, physical bodies of rest and recovery and training and intensity and volume and all those things. First Beat has been a big part of what we're doing here at Liberty.
Nice. And has it been kind of an easy role now that you've had it on, you know, going on the fourth season? When these new players come in and they see everybody just accepts the tech and does it, is it easy for those young guys to put it on, or do you still have to educate, try to get them to go with it, or, you know, kind of they just follow the leaders and do whatever what else is doing?
I think even our young guys are really excited about it, just because, you know, when they came in as recruits, they saw what was happening, and you know, the guys are always strapped up, you know. Really, I think with today's athlete, you have to engage them in some way, shape, or form for them to get buy-in. And so when they can actually see on a screen, like, hey, this is where I'm at, and this is what my body's doing, this is how long it takes me to recover, I think you kind of earn the opportunity to educate them. And basically, that helps to support, you know, kind of their journey of becoming the best they can be at their pursuit.
And I know at the practice facility you have now, you've got a nice big flat screen up so everybody can actually see everything in real time from the practice court. With the new facility, you still going to have that opportunity? You're going to get another big screen up there?
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, it's a big part of what we do. You know, coach loves to see the data real time and see what's going on. And so it's been a big part of what we do. Like, our guys know. One thing we talk about a lot with our guys is thresholds. If you've never been to the quote red, it's really hard when you get into a game and you're in the red and you're having to operate at 90% or above your max heart rate and having to make crucial decisions and having to grind through. Like, so that's how we use it. You know, we'll use it in conditioning sessions. We'll go to the mountain. We'll use it outdoors. We'll run, you know, anaerobic power intervals, 6 to 8 second blasts up the hill, and they'll come down and see, like, where am I at? How recovered am I from a cardiac standpoint? And, you know, they'll go again. So they're learning as we're going through. They're all in, man. They see the older guys doing it. They're in on it.
Okay. And to those that say, we're just going to record practice, you know, we're not going to bother by putting it on with games. I mean, how important is that game data for you?
It's really important, man. It gives us a good look, you know, of how we want to plan the next couple days of training and going into the next game. The funniest thing to me, Ben, that you'll get a kick out of this, and I think you saw it last time, is anytime one of our players is not playing how they want to play, they'll pull the strap off, and it's the strap's fault. So they're all pissed off, and they'll throw the strap at me like the strap did something to them, but it's not really the strap. I hope my guys hear that piece too.
So we can confirm it was not the strap that was throwing off the shot, correct?
It was not the strap. Strap, man, it might have been a little too tight, but come on. No, I'm just kidding. Our guys are great with it, man. So yeah, we use that game load. You know, coach is really, really involved in what we do, and he always wants to know where guys are at. You know, so if we have a game, you know, we know if it was like a hard practice or it was an intense game, what do we need to do on the, you know, on the following day?
If you went back to like when you started with Coach McKay with First Beat and to now, like, how did you begin just to educate him? Because I know that's one of the biggest challenges for a lot of the strength coaches is gathering this data that they have a good feel for. But now, how can I get this to the head coach that we're actually going to be able to use this?
Man, that's a good one right there. So I'm going to give you one quick thought. I think today's athlete and even coach are way more aware of what's going on from like just a physiological perspective, you know, just because there's so much out in the media and there's all these wearables. I don't think that means they're more educated, but they're way more aware. So the kind of the process with coach is, you know, he comes from Virginia. There's a guy, Mike Curtis is over there, and he's phenomenal with all they're doing with First Beat Catapult. I mean, they're doing things at a high level. So he had high expectations, you know, and for us, we just from day one, we were tracking heart rates and just trying to educate our guys, like, hey, here's what your body's doing. Here's what it feels like to be in quote the red. Here's what a recovery work feels like, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of the beginning of it.
And did coach buy in from day one, or was he a bit skeptical? You had to do some convincing. How did that go from the beginning?
No, I think he bought in from day one, mostly because, you know, he was at Virginia and they were doing it at such a high level there. And so I think he came in and he was ready to jump in. And over the course of the last couple of years, I think he's gained a little trust in what I do and you know, what I can offer and how our guys are responding. So yeah, it was easy, man. I'd probably say he's more interested in the data than most coaches.
Okay, excellent. Kind of on the topic of Coach McKay, that's a pretty hot name right now, college basketball. Any idea, you know, what does the future look like for Liberty men's basketball? Because you can't keep winning this many games in consecutive seasons and not have a lot of people calling.
Yeah, man. You know, like I said earlier, our whole staff takes it one day at a time, man. What we do every day is more important than what we do every once in a while. And, you know, people hit me all the time like, hey, you guys are doing well and there's going to be opportunities and stuff. Like our mantra is just to do the best we can where we're at and let the rest take care of itself. So I'm sure there's a lot of interest from, you know, universities around the country, especially this time of year, you know, as we come to the end and a lot of turnover and change. But, man, we're focused, man. We're locked in here. Liberty is a great university. And so we're happy to be here. I can't speak for Coach McKay in any way, shape, or form, but you know, our mission here is to do the best we can.
Okay, and I'm gonna bother you one little bit. I know I don't want to distract because you guys are obviously doing well this season, but what does the future look like for Henry Barrera? I'm aware that you interviewed with two NBA teams, and so how was that experience and kind of what are you looking to as far as the future?
Oh, man, that was an incredible experience, man. Big learning. Same thing I said earlier just about our whole program. You know, for me, I've been blessed and fortunate in that I've never really pursued a job, man. I just try to do the best I can where I'm at and, you know, great things happen. I think early on in my career, I thought it was going to be one phone call or one opportunity or one podcast or one this or one that, and that was going to be my big break. Now at 42, I'm thinking, no, man, it's the culmination of the layers and layers and layers and layers of what you do every day to prepare yourself. So, you know, I'm super happy here. Like I tell people all the time, I live my dream, man. I get to work with hoopers every day. I work with some golf guys now. I'll probably take swimming and diving pretty soon here. But yeah, man, I'm just enjoying it right now. And I'm trying to be in the moment and not look too far ahead because I get distracted like that.
All right, that makes sense. So you were the original team that at Liberty that started to use First Beat, and now there's actually up to 8 teams now using First Beat at Liberty. Do you ever talk to the other programs, those staff members, talk data, kind of what they're doing with the system, what you're doing with the system?
Yeah, probably not as much as we should, but we talk, you know, probably Solomon Tatt, who is one of our strength coaches. He's phenomenal. He comes from Virginia as well, so he has a pretty good grasp on First Beat and what they do. I know a couple of the teams use it here too. Mainly talk about trim scores, you know, what is hard training, what is moderate training, what is easy training, what does that look like? How do you make adjustments? So that's kind of our MO and how we go about our business. That's the beauty of what we're doing, though, is, you know, we're collaborating more and more, and we're not just trying to talk about integration. We're trying to live that out, you know, and how we go about our business.
And kind of on that same topic about the trim scores, I forgot to ask earlier, what kind of numbers would you see, let's say, a high minute player in a, you know, a normal game?
A normal game, I'd say we'd be between like 225 and 250, which seems pretty high. So we try to use the trim score to quantify overall training load. I think there's a good example is we played UNC Greensboro a couple years ago and went into a triple overtime game, which was super intense. Our players had a trim of like 300, you know, a little over 300, which, you know, is outrageous. But that's one way that we can communicate with our coaching staff what's happening on a daily, a weekly, you know, and even a monthly regimen, a schedule, right? And so, you know, we talk a lot about what it feels like to be in the red, what happens, you know, from a metabolic standpoint and these different things, you know, and how we make adjustments and change the volume and intensity of our practices or our lifts or whatever we're doing. Everybody knows a triple overtime game is intense and all this, but man, we can quantify that and say, man, we need to make adjustments tomorrow, like light work tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Wow, that 300, that's a high for a basketball game, that's for sure.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
Yeah. Kind of what do you see as the major talking points in performance training moving forward?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think right now, if you know, just off the cuff, I think tech is always, you know, at the forefront, just because people think that's the answer to everything. And really, it's just a tool. You know, it's another thing we can have in our arsenal to better serve our athletes. Integration is another word that people talk about, integration. You know, how do we integrate departments and break down the walls and the silos? Man, but I think probably the biggest thing for me right now is kind of the neuro piece, like how athletes are developing their minds, how they handle stress, and how they can use kind of their mindset to magnify or maximize their athletic skills on, you know, in their given sport.
Excellent. Great stuff. Well, that's going to do it for today. And, you know, just want to mention, I know you're always dropping some knowledge on your Twitter account. So if you want to, go ahead and follow Henry at Hoop Diaries. Hen, always good to talk to you, brother. Thanks for stopping by.
Man, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate all you guys do, and looking forward to keep plugging along, man.
All right. And for our listeners, thank you for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed it, feel free to drop a review on iTunes and also subscribe. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the First Beat Sports Podcast. For more information about us and our sports monitoring systems, give us a call at 435-363-9533, or you can send us an email to sports@firstbeat.com. You can also visit us online at www.firstbeat.com. Thanks a lot for listening today, and don't forget to be with us on the next edition of the First Beat Sports Podcast.